Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. Today we're talking about how understanding the microbiome can change the world's healthcare. My guest is Naveen Jain, who is an entrepreneur driven to solve the world's biggest challenges through innovation. He is the founder of several successful companies, including Moon Express, Viome, Blue Dot, TalentWise, Intellius, and InfoSpace. Viome is focused on disrupting healthcare with the goal of making illness elective by identifying microbial biomarkers that are predictive of chronic disease and to adjust the microbial imbalance through personalized nutrition. Naveen is also trustee of the board of the XPRIZE Foundation, and he recently launched a $1 million Women Safety XPRIZE to empower women around the world. On today's podcast, Naveen shares how we can come together to solve the world's problems, including healthcare. He shares about the exciting research on the microbiome and the potential it has for preventing and reversing many chronic diseases. And he talks about what his company is working on to continue to address the healthcare crisis. Naveen is such an inspirational speaker, so I think you'll enjoy this interview. Naveen, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Well, Trevor, it's an honor and a pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, great. So I know that you have this mission to get people together to solve the world's problems, right? And the way we actually connected was because of your microbiome test, but then I've learned that you're doing so much more. So what got you inspired to do this?
Well, you know, first of all, Trevor, you know, this is the first time in the human history that individuals and a small group of people can do things that could only be done by nation states. And it used to require the humanity to all essentially pool in our resources and give it to this entity called government and hoping and praying that someone there might do something about it. And we all have learned, especially in our current administration, that not generally the things happen the way we want them to happen, but such is life, right? But that's what the democratic system is about. But that doesn't matter, because we as entrepreneurs, you know, the presidents come and go and the nation states change. But if you look at the innovation never stops. You know, whether innovation is not a red state or a blue state, it really is a national global thing. It will continue to move on. And as you mentioned that, now the technology is at a point where everyone has access to the same set of technology, same set of research papers that you could be sitting in a Africa nation, have access to same information that you have sitting at Stanford. And that is really what's changing everything. That means now you and I and a small group of passionate people are able to do things that were unheard of. So for example, if you look at the space exploration, it used to be NASA and the superpowers and the government. And if you look at today, it is done by Elon and the Richard and Jeff and, you know, people who are going out and saying, this is something we can do. And innovation is accelerating. In the last 50, 60 years since we had the first man landing on the moon, no one ever thought we could build a reusable rocket. We obviously had a shuttle, but never a reusable rocket. And the point is now that innovation is accelerating the pace. And the same thing is starting to happen in the healthcare. Our healthcare system, it's not that it's broken. It is just become obsolete. It was designed for the purpose of taking care of people who were dying from infection and acute needs. And our system does that extremely well. But today in our healthcare system, most people are suffering from chronic diseases. And as we all know, the chronic diseases don't happen overnight. They happen over time. I mean, it's not like we go home and say, honey, last night I was out with boys and I think I might have caught obesity. It's not, you know, whether you look at the depression or anxiety or you look at Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and you look at autoimmune diseases, it's not something you wake up one day and you catch. This happens because you have a chronic low-grade inflammation. And this is really where the fundamental shift is coming from. In the last 10 years, it has become completely clear that almost all of the chronic diseases. And I think, you know, as you know, your audience will appreciate, whether it is skin diseases, whether it's in acne, eczema, dry skin, or any type of these skin diseases, they look like they show up on the skin, but they really are inflammation that's internal. And so when, you know, my mother would say, it's a beauty from inside out, she really meant it, right? And if we, in fact, if you go back and start to think about the things that have been in our vocabulary, and you know, someone will say, hey, do a gut check, listen to your gut. What is it in that gut that they're asking you to do, right? And you know, if you go back even 2,400 years ago, when Hippocrates says, all diseases begin in the gut, what did he know? And then he says something very profound. You know, one man's food is another man's poison. That means there is no such thing as universal healthy food. That means a food that's good for Trevor may be bad for Naveen, and the food that's good for me may not be good for me in 3 to 4 months, because as your microbiome inside the gut is changing, I'm going to come back and describe what that is. But that is the key, is that our body is an ecosystem. And I'm going to come back in a second describe, but just taking overall concept that, you know, these skin diseases, whether it is aging, I mean, there is nowhere it's written that, you know, humans must age. And when they age, they must get wrinkles. They must get all these chronic diseases that are somehow people are appearing. That what happens is over time, we continue to neglect and continue to build up on these toxins. And our cells are constantly being essentially bombarded with the free radicals. And so it really happens because as we are aging, we are eating poorly, we are in a rush during the time when we need to be healthy. We are all trying to pursue our career and running and trying to grab a hot dog while between the meetings. And eventually your gut microbiome starts to get dysbiosis, and you start to see the things that you never thought you would ever have. You start to get brain fog. You just start to get tired. You start to not get good sleep. And these are all symptoms of exactly the same thing, which is a low-grade chronic inflammation. So that's a long answer to your short question about, you know, what we can do as humanity and what drives me. What drives me is, what if it is possible to create a world where chronic illness is absolutely a matter of choice? What if illness was purely optional? And what if that was possible today? Because now we have technology at our disposal to be able to look at a molecular level what is going on, and to be able to apply the artificial intelligence to be able to make sense of all the data that human brain can never process. And that technology is not just going to revolutionize healthcare. I think it's going to completely implode and disrupt our current healthcare system. And if I may say so, and if you can don't mind my indulging in a second here, is that I find there's no other industry, Trevor, as you are a prime, I think, an example of it. You took on these large companies, whether you call them cosmetic companies or pharmaceutical companies, they want to keep you sick. The pharmaceutical companies have become parasite on humanity. To them, a chronic disease is actually a subscription business. They never care about what's causing them. They simply want to suppress the symptom, so you have to take their drugs for the rest of your life. Now imagine, the only person who doesn't want to stay sick is the person who is sick, right? And you know, even the best drugs that suppress a symptom have efficacy rate of 20 to 25%. Now imagine what that really means in layman's terms. That means 75% to 80% of the people are not only going to be not helped, they're going to be harmed. There's no industry where you and I can sell a product telling our customer, there's 80% of you who are going to be harmed by it, but you should buy it anyway. I mean, no other industry you could do that. I mean, that is the only industry you get away with it. Now, the only way, when they are taking advantage of humanity, the humanity has to come together to kill this parasite. We have to say enough is enough. We are not going to allow us to be victimized anymore. We're going to empower ourselves with information, and we're going to go out and solve the problem. And that's why I personally admire you, Trevor, for what you're doing. You took on a project that is not easy. These are the billion-dollar companies who would rather have you fail, because they don't want you to succeed. And that's the reason what drives you and what drives me is to say, you know what, we're going to side on the side of our customer, our people, our friends, and our family, and our loved ones who are suffering from it, and we are not going to let them suffer anymore. And that's what drives me, and that's what drives you, Trevor.
Absolutely. It's so true. And it is a very empowering idea that we have that control, that we can make those decisions ourselves, and that we have control. And I don't mean just you and I mean we collectively have control over our destiny, of our health, and that we don't have to rely upon some doctor in a white coat that's been sitting there all day that only spends 7 minutes talking to you, that we can actually take charge of our health. And so I'm kind of curious, why the microbiome? What you when you created Viome, what led you to find the microbiome and feel like this is the future?
Okay, so I'm going to step back for a second, then I'm going to come answer your question right back here. So if you, as you know, my other company is Moon Express, which is the only company in the universe that has permission to leave Earth orbit and land on the moon. And that is actually going to have a first mission to the moon next year. And the only reason I mentioned that is, as we were getting closer to launching this mission, I start thinking about that once you have done the moonshot, what do you do for an encore? You do another moonshot. And this time it was going to be a symbolic moonshot. And I start thinking about that there are two big problems that, you know, we as humanity must solve. One is education, and the second was healthcare. And I started looking at both the problems, and it turns out, Trevor, that both were very similar problems. And in a sense that, in both cases, the people believe the system is not working for them. It is broken. And it turns out that neither one of them is actually broken. Our education system was designed to teach us skills. And in the industrial era, that was all we needed. We needed 10, you know, million accountants, and we needed 5 million lathe machine operators, and we need 20,000 of these people. And our education system, wonderful job of teaching them the skills. And they could use those skills for the rest of their lives. In the world we live today, which is a world of exponential technologies, that means in that world, any skill that you learn becomes obsolete by the time you graduate. So think about it for a second. By the time our children graduate, what they learn is no longer valid because the world has moved on. In that world, you have to rethink about what education is. It needs to be learning to learn. It's about learning to solve problems. You can no longer be unidisciplinary. It has to be multidisciplinary, because problems don't tend to be unidimensional. They tend to be multidimensional, right? So my point is, that is where the education system needed to be fixed. And then I looked at the healthcare, exactly the same thing. It was designed for the times when people needed to be taking care of infectious diseases. And here we are sitting with chronic diseases. A healthcare system that was designed for episodic sickness is dealing with a chronic sickness. And no wonder the things are not working. Now, as I started to look at the things, and I'm just an information junkie. I must have read 10,000 research papers that came out in the last 10 years. And it became very clear to me, whether you read Nature and the Cell and any of the peer-reviewed journals, that every single chronic disease I read, Parkinson's starts in the gut 15 years before you see the first symptom. And people are now doing the fecal transplants for autism. And it turns out the anxiety and depression tends to start within the gut as a low-grade inflammation. And you start to think about obesity and diabetes and autoimmune diseases and even the heart disease or cancer. In the last 6 months alone, there are papers published by the Mayo Clinic about the breast cancer being caused by the microbiome. They took, I think, 1,600 women with a breast cancer tissue, and they found there was similar microbiome that was causing that breast cancer. They did the same thing for pancreatic cancer. They did the same thing on the liver cancer. And what they're learning is, not only our microbiome is responsible for many of these chronic diseases, what's even more interesting is that whether the cure for these things work or does not work also depends on your microbiome. So there were research published saying that whether chemotherapy works or it will actually kill you depends on your gut microbiome. And similarly, immunotherapy, whether it works or does not work, because at the end of the day, despite how proud we are of who we are as humans, we are basically, there are more microbial cells in our human body. There are more foreign cells in our body than human cells. And that everyone knows. But what they don't know is, what makes us is really our gene expression. Our DNA does not make us who we are. Our genes are not our destiny. And I'll give you an example why I believe that. So first of all, we all share almost 99% same DNA. You and I look very different, but 99% of our DNA is identical. In fact, I and a tree share almost 80% the same DNA. Now, that is not interesting. What's interesting is, if you look at us as humans, every part of our body is identical, the same DNA. So same DNA is that's in our hair, is also in our tooth, our skin, our lungs, everything. So how is it the same genes can make hair and tooth? And why is it we don't get the tooth growing up on our head and hair growing in our mouth? It's because it controls the genetic expression of what genes are expressed and what genes are not expressed. And that's why the same DNA can produce every part of our body. Now, what's very interesting is that human DNA only produces about 20,000 genes. And the microbiome, these organisms, a collection of these organisms, whether they are bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, mold, or even the bacteriophages, which are the viruses that only attack bacteria, all these combined is what we call microbiome. They produce somewhere between 2 million to 20 million genes. Now think for a second, that means we are less than 1% human when it comes to our gene expression. So why are they important? So if you think about it, that everything that's happening in our body is controlled by the gene expression. And that gene expression is primarily microbial. And there is so most people still have this abstract concept of these critters in their gut, and they're just like, I don't want them. I want to kill them all, right? And the point is, nature has created us as a symbiotic relationship because we are very complex. All the nutrients that our body needs, our body cannot digest the food we eat. It has to be digested by our microbiome. And they produce the nutrients that our body needs. So if we feed them the wrong thing, they produce the wrong thing. And many of these wrong things can either be inflammatory. So if you're feeding this stuff, like eating a lot of protein, and you're feeding these things called protein fermenters, you suddenly start to see a lot of ammonia and sulfites being released. And that may show up as eczema and dry skin or acne on your gut. Or you may be actually eating stuff that's producing lipopolysaccharide, which is LPS, which causes inflammation. Again, that shows up as diabetes or skin diseases. So all these things are simply the symptom. Inflammation, think of inflammation really is pulling a string. And wherever the weakest link is, it breaks there. And some people, the weakest link is their heart or other parts of the body. And some people, it's their skin. And all these things start to happen over time. Now, very interesting is, as I try to explain this concept of microbiome, Trevor, most people just still have a very hard time. So I came up with this tongue-in-cheek story about how humans were created. And if you indulge me, and I'm going to tell you this story, because once you hear it, you can never unhear it again.
Okay.
So here's how it all happened. So as we all know, Trevor, that we were all, on this planet Earth, the spacecraft that we call planet Earth, the microorganisms have been around for 3.5-4 billion years. The humans only evolved in the last couple of million years. We are very new species, the human species. So how did we come to be? So here's how I all think happened. One day, all the bacteria and viruses and the yeast and the fungus and the mold, they all got together and said, we're sick and tired of living in this small space. We want to take over the world. And they all looked at each other. One of them raised the hand and said, I have an idea. What's your idea? What if we can create this bipedal thing? And what if trillions of us could live inside it? All we have to do is keep this thing healthy and keep feeding it what we want. Keep feeding it so that it stays healthy. We can make it crave anything we want. And it's going to go everywhere looking for the food all over the world. It's going to poop everywhere. And it's going to spread us around. And we're going to take over the world. And they created humans. Now, interesting thing happened. Once the humans got created, they start to wonder, just like today you and I wonder about, hey, artificial intelligence, what if someday it became smarter than humans? What will happen to us humans? And these organisms are not dumb. They reassemble and say, master, we have a problem. What's the problem, son? Master, we created this monster we call humans. Aren't you worried someday they may become smarter than us? What are we going to do about that? Master say, don't worry, we got a whole plan in place. What is that, master? Well, I'm going to tell you the secret then. Inside the human cell, this thing they call mitochondria, what they don't realize is this is one of our older brother. is right there inside their cell that provides them all the energy. And we talk to it all the time. And anytime the humans go out of control, we shut the energy pipe and they are done. Master, that's brilliant. But you're not thinking right now. They're starting to develop this thing called brain. What are we going to do about that? Master says, that was the first thing we thought about it. Remember, we live in the gut. We put a direct connection to the brain. They call that a vagus nerve. And imagine that vagus nerve. They thought they're going to name it after Las Vegas, thinking what happens in the gut is going to stay in the gut. They were so wrong. What happens in the gut goes everywhere. Now I'm going to tell you another secret here. Remember what makes them feel good, this serotonin thing? We don't let them produce much of that. 90% of that we produce ourselves. In fact, we control their emotions, their behavior, their decision making. We have a direct control over their amygdala and prefrontal cortex. Like a good leader, we make them think they are the one who are making the decision. We sit here simply pulling all the strings, and they are our puppet. So sit back, relax, we are taking over the world. So Trevor, that's who we are.
I love that. That's really funny. Yes, so we are controlled by these microorganisms.
Yeah. And now, interesting thing is, you know, and it's not just a control, it is that symbiotic relationship that we were created for. That means if we can provide, if we know what organisms are there, this new ecosystem, there is no such thing as one good ecosystem that we all need. So think of our gut like an Amazonian forest. Rainforest, right? So in a rainforest, every step you take is a completely different ecosystem, yet every ecosystem is lush and green. So you and I can have a completely different gut, and both of us could be very healthy. That means there is no one right gut that we try to make. It is really about diversity and all different organisms working together. And it's not the good bacteria or the bad bacteria. It is all of them coming together, living together in harmony. That means when we eat food, there is no such thing that, hey, all of us should be eating healthy, and that means eating spinach and avocado and oats and avoiding the carbs. And that has been the general myth. And that general myth is why we are in a situation we are. Every few years, you and I both know there's a new fad diet. Remember Atkins diet? Most people who are listening to it probably don't even remember the Atkins diet. It used to be no carb diet and lot of fat. And it turned out the poor Atkins died of heart disease. That did not go very well for the brand. Then there came the paleo diet and the ketogenic diet and the lectin diet. And, you know, all these fad diets come. And what really happens is a diet that's good for one person is not for other. And secondly, even a diet that's good for you actually becomes bad for you every 3 or 4 months. And that's why the things that work for you short term, and then suddenly they stop working and you start going the reverse. So think of it like a seesaw. When your gut is imbalanced, you start to eat certain foods, you get to balance and you don't stop, and now you're imbalanced the other way. So you have to constantly balance and tune. And that is really what you need to understand. The only way you can do that is to really do a microbiome test. And not just any microbiome test, because what really happened is, the reason, you know, this research has been around for 10 years. So you would say, wait a sec, if people know about microbiome, I have heard about microbiome. Many people probably were listening to it say, I've done the microbiome test. It's completely useless. And the answer is they're probably right. Because 99% of all the companies that do microbiome tests, they're absolutely scamming the customers. And what they do is they use very ancient technology that's really, really cheap. So whether you look at the companies that people may have spent their money on, Ubiome or Biome or, you know, the American Gut Project, they basically do nothing. What they do is a 16S sequencing that can never see any bacteria, virus, yeast, fungus, mold. And even the bacteria, they see it at a genus level. That means there are only 7 or 8 genus types. You have high Firmicutes versus Bacteroidetes. That doesn't tell you anything. What really you need to know is, what are they actually producing? Because we need to know, are they producing short-chain fatty acid that our body needs, like butyrate? How much of butyrate they're producing, which are anti-inflammatory? How much of acetic acid or lactic acid they're producing? How much of the LPS, which is toxic, is they are producing? And then you start to look at it and saying, how is spinach going to be consumed by our gut microbiome? So, for example, for me, spinach is toxic. And here's why. Spinach, as we all know, or kale, has a lot of these things called oxalate, the oxalic acid. And if you don't have the gut microbiomes called oxalobacter, then you eat spinach, it's going to actually not be digested anymore. It's going to cause inflammation. Same type of thing. People believe these polyphenol foods, right? The pomegranate juice and the blueberries, they got to be good for everyone. And the answer is no, because they really don't have antioxidative in their own. What they have, like pomegranate juice, has something called ellagic acid. Ellagic acid in itself is not antioxidative. When it goes to your gut, the gut microbiome converts the ellagic acid into something called urolithin A, ULA. And once you get the urolithin A, that is what's absorbed in the body, and that becomes antioxidative. So my point is, it is not something you can say, I'm eating healthy. You have to know what's healthy for you. And so, Trevor, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I went to Los Alamos National Lab, where we found this technology. This was designed for the biodefense work. So imagine, the problem they were trying to solve was the same thing. If a bad actor were to get hold of something chemical or biological, how would they know what's making people sick? So they developed this technology that's able to look at your blood and urine or your poop and able to find out exactly what is going on inside your body and what's making it sick and what's causing inflammation. And if I say, look, if we know what's causing them, why can't we just reverse it and make people non-sick? Reverse the chronic diseases. And that's, so we got the exclusive license and I started this company and basically put together a team, Trevor, that has never been put together, right? So head of the IBM Watson is our AI person. Dr. Massier, you may know her. She's PhD, she's MD. She teaches functional medicine. She was working for human longevity for anti-aging company for Craig Venter. I took her, I stole her from there and brought her whole team. So Ali Parina, Shuba, and Niels Klitgaard, they all came in to solve this problem. The team that was working at Los Alamos to solve this problem, I took the whole team and I hired them to solve this problem for us to help the humanity move forward. With a simple moonshot, what if you and I can create a world together where illness is optional? And the only way we can do that, Trevor, is if millions of us can come together. We now have tens of thousands of customers, and we see unbelievable feedback. As an engineer, I never thought I would wake up in the morning and read email from someone saying, thank you for changing my life, or an email from a husband and saying, you gave me my wife back. She was so sick that I lost her, and she's back now, right? So people were calling us and said they were depressed or anxious, people who had acne and eczema is just disappearing. Interesting thing is, we don't focus on any of those things. We simply focus on balancing your gut and reducing the inflammation. Two of the women went on Dr. Oz show. One lost 71 pounds, one lost 49 pounds. We don't focus on weight loss. That was just a byproduct of reducing the inflammation and fixing the leaky gut and balancing the gut microbiome. And all these things that are, we call different diseases, they're just the symptoms. People are telling us their psoriasis is, you know, much better. Their autoimmune disease, they're not taking biologics anymore, or they're taking much less of them than they used to take. The joint pains are not happening. And we're still learning what is happening there. And the good thing is, if we can get a couple of million of people to come together, we will have all the data that we need to solve this problem. But, you know, you and I can't do it alone. I mean, it's every one of us have to come together and say, this problem is worth solving. And my absolute belief, Trevor, is that our generation, if we do it right, will be the generation that will be known for solving chronic diseases. And if we cannot come together and continue to fragment, then we are going to simply pass this problem on to our children and grandchildren and we're going to watch them suffer. And none of us want to see our children and grandchildren suffer. So all I can ask is, let's all come together and solve this problem. Only other thing I can tell you, Trevor, is that I came from very, very humble background. I grew up in India. I had no food to eat. I had no place to stay. I came to United States with $5 about 35 years ago. God has been very kind to us. There is any which way you can look at major success, God has given us everything. And the only way I can give back to the society is to dedicate my life to solving the problems that matter. So I am here and I'm going to dedicate my life to solving it. But I can't do it. It only can be done when we all come together. So I am in it for a long haul. I'm not trying to make money. We have all the money that we can ever want in our life. All we want to do is that solve this problem. And that's the reason that when we started this company, to do something, a technology like this, to just to do a sequencing of your RNA, which is what we do, would cost $5,000. And in fact, today, the companies who do this cost $5,000. We are able to provide it for a couple of $100, Trevor, is because we are trying to sell them at cost. We just don't need to make money. We need to get enough people to come together and hoping that in the next 1 year, the cost will come down to so cheap that our philanthropic dollars can just essentially subsidize it for everyone. And one day when we have solved this problem and no one has chronic disease, the best thing of my life will be that we shut this company down because it's no longer needed. And that will be the happiest day of my life.
I love it. I so love your entrepreneurial spirit and your passion for this. And it's so great to hear this. It's something, the idea of individualizing medicine and diet, and also that a lot of disease comes from the gut, is something that naturopathic physicians have been talking about for so many years. And so it's great to see more of the technology and the science supporting that and the work that you're doing to help us really understand more about the gut microbiome and what is there, what is normal, what is healthy. And I know that this is something that's developing, that's continuing. And so what do you think as far as the information that we have available now versus what we have coming, how far do we have to go?
Well, you know, again, we feel really, really good because, you know, think about it. We are looking at for the first time all the genes that are expressed by these, trillions, not billions, the trillions of these organisms, every single thing they're doing in your gut. We're starting to understand that. We're now understanding that when they release these enzymes and peptides and molecules, they are absorbed in our blood and they're changing our gene expression. So in fact, some really, you know, if anyone who's interested, I'm more than happy to recommend some of the books that I find really fascinating is that as these peptides are released, they change our immune system and cause the immune system, because when they see a pathogen, they work with the immune system to kill that pathogen. But in sometimes the bacteria, our gut is not balanced and they actually does not control. That means they create the inflammation, but the switch to turn it off is not there. And then that means we now get the chronic inflammation rather than the anti-inflammatory things such as butyric acid being produced that actually shuts the system down to say, okay, all good now, right? And so when you start to get this dysbiosis, which is this gut imbalance, you start to see the immune system is either hyperactive. And when it's hyperactive, you can get autoimmune diseases. You get, you know, inflammation causes acne and the eczema. And we all know that. I mean, that's really weird. You know, heart disease are caused by the hardening of the arteries and the inflammation. We all know that inflammation, chronic inflammation is a root cause. So now the next thing we're launching, Trevor, is on the host side. And, you know, it's hard to call ourselves a host, but we're really a host. We are host for these trillions of these organisms. On the host side, we are going to be adding the blood transcriptomics, which is really a couple of drops of blood, and we sequence it to see every genes that are being expressed on the host side. That means mitochondrial gene expression that no one has ever looked at. So remember mitochondria, we talked about another bacteria inside our human cell. So we look at that bacteria and see what it's doing, because that's really the energy factory. So as we age, remember, we lose energy. So what's happening in the mitochondria that's causing it? Because that's really what causes the wrinkles and what causes the cells not to work as well. Because when the energy factory is not working well, the cells stop dividing. And when cells start dividing, our skin is no longer smooth, because that means our stem cells are constantly producing new skin cells. When they stop producing, our skin cells are not being produced, so they all get wrinkles. So all these things are because our system is just not working well. So the blood transcriptomics allows us to look at the mitochondrial gene expression, all the blood cell gene expression, including all the cytokines, which are the inflammation. So IL-1, which is anti-inflammatory, IL-6, IL-12, IL-17, 18, all the interleukins, CRP, TNF-alpha, and then we see all other genes being expressed. And then we're going to be adding, as you say, we're going to be adding the skin microbiome. But just to be clear, of all the microorganisms that are inside our body and on our body, 98%, greater than 98% of them live in our gut. And about 0.1% live on our skin, 0.1% live in our saliva, 1% are actually in the oral microbiome inside our gum, and then they are in other places in our blood. But most of them are in our gut. But then we're going to obviously add the skin microbiome. We're going to start looking at the urine to see what type of minerals, what type of organic acids and amino acids are being produced in our gut. And we take all this data, and then we say artificial intelligence, tell us what is going on. This person had joint pain, this person doesn't have joint pain, and here are 100,000 people that all have acne, and here are the people who don't. What do you see here? What is common? What are they producing when they have this? And how do you reverse it? So if lipopolysaccharide is really the culprit, how do we reduce it? What foods cause that lipopolysaccharide to go up? And then we start to look at what, you know, all the chemicals in every food, and we see how does our gut microbiome takes this chemical and what is it producing out of it. So we look at input and we look at the output and say, aha, this output is no good and this being produced by this input, let's stop this food and give this food instead. And that's basically where we are right now. And my hope is that, you know, in the next 4, 5, 10 years, this problem will get solved. But only if we can get millions of us to come together. And you know, no one, and the reason is if you are a doctor, you can see 1,000 people. That's just not enough data. And if every doctor has 1,000 people, and they become so smart. Remember, a doctor who has seen 1,000 people, they have a lot of knowledge. Now imagine your AI doctor that has 100,000 people, million people, 10 million people. That doctor has all the information that you need. So imagine when you go to a doctor because they're an expert, and what makes them an expert? 100 people, 1,000 people. But here's the worst part. Their knowledge is still what they learn in the medical college. You talk about continuing education every single day, Trevor. You and I both know it. We are information junkie. The more research is being released every day than human mind can read. Forget about working anywhere. Just simply reading the research, a full-time job. But computers are really good at that. You feed them all the research, they take all the knowledge.
Right.
That's so, great. First of all, I just want you to know that I am a big admirer of yours because you are one of the few people who actually are doing it for the right reasons because you care. And you care a lot about people. I've seen you at work. You're not doing it because this is another way of making money. You're doing it because you want people to get better. And that's why your products are so good, because you deliver value. You're not simply saying what will make it easy. You're not trying to sell them something. You're delivering what works for people. So I just say thank you for doing what you do, because people like you are the people who this world needs. The more of us is what's going to make this world a better place for all of us and for our children.
Thank you, Naveen. That's very kind of you. And of course, all the work that you're doing is so exciting and important. And I can't wait to see what unfolds in the next 4 to 5 years as we discover it all, right?
So here's very interesting is that, you know, I started this company called Viome. I don't know if I'm going to give you a secret. The Indians cannot pronounce the word we. So here I have a company that I started that I cannot pronounce. So I always have to spell it for people, because when I say Viome, they say, you mean with W? No. With V. What is V? Never mind. So it's V as in Victor. Right. I-O-M-E. So if you can put a link down, at least people can find it.
Right. And so your website is viome.com, right? Is that?
Yes, yeah. That is.
Okay. And we'll have the link up to it. Naveen, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your information. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Trevor. Really looking forward to seeing the episode, and let's continue working together.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Naveen Jain. To learn more about Naveen and what they're working at Viome, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I recommend you get your customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free, takes just a few moments, and you'll get your own personalized skin information, letting you know what your skin's trying to tell you about your health and what you can do about it. Theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media, on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation there. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.